This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Earlier in today's program, we talked about the politics of Zimbabwe. We also talked to NPR Special Africa correspondent Charlene Hunter-Galt about her time reporting there. Well, Charlene is back with me right now, and we're going to talk about another part of my trip, the time I spent in Johannesburg with her. Hi again, Charlene.
Yeah, I wish you were here now, although it probably wouldn't be so much fun. It's so hot.
Oh, really? Well, I just want to thank you so much. You put me up in your home in Johannesburg, and you've lived in South Africa for years. Why did you decide to move there?
Well, I came here reporting for NPR initially. I had the whole continent, which is both a blessing and a curse because it's a huge continent, as you know, of 800 million people in 54 countries. But, you know, I didn't try to cover everything, just the main stories. It's been a challenging journalistic assignment, but it's also been wonderful to be in a country that's brand new, in effect. I mean, this country, as a multiracial democracy, came into being in 1994. So in a real sense, it's a laboratory. It's an experiment in can we all get along, you know, black, white, brown, and so on.
Well, let's break it down with black Americans. There are quite a few black Americans who have chosen to make South Africa their home. Why do you think that is? And how do black South Africans perceive black Americans?
Well, I think there are a variety of reasons why African Americans choose to stay here. Some of them because they've just had it with the United States. There are people who just want to be around other black people. There are people with bed and breakfasts. There are people involved in the financial sector, people selling furniture, people preaching in churches. All African Americans, you know, one of my favorite phrases from the Black Panther some years ago is that you got to come in right. I think when they come in and want to be a part of the society and want to be partners with the South Africans, then they have a much better chance of having just a wonderful life as we do.
Well, among the many wonderful things about South Africa is the fashion industry. And your tailor...
You would know.
Yeah, I would know. I try to think of myself as someone who does not, you know, overindulge on clothes. But I have to admit, I went all the way there with your tailor, Funke Masondo. You have these tailors like Funke who will come into private homes or do trunk shows, who will do custom fittings, and you also have boutiques. Tell me a little bit about how important fashion is in South Africa.
Well, first of all, I think Funke would be insulted to be called a tailor. I think she thinks of herself as a couturier, and she's really a designer, and she has other people who do the sewing. She's from Nigeria and very enterprising, as you know, most Nigerians are. She does a little bit of everything. But she and others are sort of on the brink of a real breakthrough in South African fashion. It's something called Afro Chic or Afro Urban Chic. There's Kinsani Mangani, who has an amazing house called Stone Cherry, and she pioneered a lot of this new look using the traditional South African fabrics and motifs, but in a slightly more Western way. Marianne Fossler, Clive Rundle, all of these people have now begun to show in South Africa Fashion Weeks, but they also have participated in Fashion Weeks in Brazil and London. And you know what's really interesting, Farai, is that there have been a lot of stories about these near bulimic models that are used on runways all over the world. South Africa is changing that because in Africa, as you know, the round body, the ample bum, the ample bosom is something that's adored. In fact, you know, in a country and a continent where there's so much AIDS, there's a stigma attached to women who are too thin. But I think more important than that is the recognition that most people don't look like the runway models. So the clothes are designed to accentuate what Africans think of as the positive.
Oh, girl.
And they're being very successful.
You got me right there. I'm accentuating my positive in an African outfit right now. So before
it looks fabulous.
It does. Before I let you go, I ran into one of NPR's employees in South Africa who was touring the country with the Delta Sorority. Now, what are a couple of must-see places for Americans who show up in South Africa?
You know, South Africa is such has so much variety, both in its landscape, in its pace from town to town. I mean, Cape Town is really slow, but it's beautiful. The water is there. That's where the two oceans meet, the Indian and the Atlantic. Johannesburg has, of course, the world famous Soweto. There you have the small, tiny matchbox house where Mandela lived with his wife Winnie before he went to prison. And then you have the Apartheid Museum, which is a great place for someone who's never been here to start, so that you can see how much progress has been made and yet how much left there is to do.
Well, at your suggestion, I went to the Apartheid Museum, and I absolutely loved it. And on that note, again, Charlene, and to your husband, Ron, thank you for hosting me. And thanks again for another Africa Update.
Thank you, Farai. It was our pleasure.
Charlene Hunter-Galt is NPR's special Africa correspondent. She joined us from Johannesburg, South Africa. And she and I chat regularly in our Africa Update about news and culture on the continent.